founders of the ministry God's Great Outdoors. They founded it 20 years ago, and as you know, we had the banquet Friday night, and it was just a wonderful time of celebration. And if you don't know Jerry and Cindy, get to know them. They're some of our newest members here. They joined with us a month or so ago, and we just praise God for their work and ministry. And as you know, they have, maybe on the way in you saw, they had some things out here on the table to introduce you to their ministry and some things that you can even purchase. So get to know Jerry and Cindy. But when Jerry was planning this, he talked to me back even before they became members back in end of February, early March, and asked if we might be able to host that banquet. And I said, hey, you know, that'd be great and all. And he mentioned this guy named Tim Mahoney. Never heard of him before. Sorry, Tim. I'll tell you, he told me that he was a filmmaker and said that he was their keynote speaker and said, hey, what do you think about having Tim speak on Sunday since he's already going to be here? I thought, yeah, well, okay. And again, didn't know about Tim. And so he said he's a filmmaker and he's made a documentary on the Exodus. I'm like, well, you know, the Exodus, I mean, it's, I believe it. It's in the Bible. But I did not understand that out there, there's such a controversy of questioning whether it ever really even happened. And I watched this documentary, and man, I was fascinated. And come to find out, Tim Mahoney is the one that made the film. And he's going to tell you a little bit more about that. And I just got more and more excited about the fact that he was going to be here. Here's this guy who's a filmmaker, and he has a story to tell, and I'm excited for you to hear that story. So let's welcome Tim to our pulpit here today.
I'm going to be, I heard this was the more casual service, so I'm going to just sit on this stool and tell you a story about my life. And the great adventure, you know, does anyone like to go on an adventure? I mean, to go on a trip or go somewhere. Do you guys like to do that, you know? And Jerry and I met a number of years ago, and my cousin is Matt McPherson, and he started an archery company, Matthews. And some of you might know, have heard of that. And so I have, I'm going to tell you a little bit about where I came from and how I got to where I am today as a filmmaker. And, you know, you don't just wake up and all of a sudden say, I think I'll be a filmmaker, because no one will hire you. I can tell you there's a lot of people that want to be filmmakers, and it's a long journey. And I was just tell you a little bit about my background, because, you know, the families are really important, and it's really hard. I grew up in a broken home. My father and mother, my father was a police officer. My mother was a piano teacher, a stay-at-home mom. I was the oldest of four children. And my father was had a lot of pain in his life from his childhood, from the war. He was a decorated soldier, and he was a police officer. And eventually he went to the State Highway Patrol. And it got so bad that his anger was so terrible that we had to escape. And we ended up, our home from that point on was broken. And that was 50 years ago. And I'll just share this with you, that this week, on Wednesday, after 50 years, I'm meeting my father. I've met him several times before, but God spoke to my heart and said, you know, you never pray for your dad. And I thought about it, and I thought, well, I hadn't even thought of him, you know. He's been gone out of my life. And I don't know if any of you have broken families or broken relationships or whatever. And I remember growing up, I used to look for my dad in a crowd. And maybe I could see him, you know. And, you know, it gets tender when I think about that. And so I've built this relationship and called him, and I've been actually able to say, I love you, Dad. And I have been able to heal that. So of all things, we're going to the ventriloquist convention next week, because my dad likes ventriloquism. He's 80 years old, and that's what I'm here for. That's another reason. And I'm on a kind of a tour. But, you know, we can heal those relationships. And I wanted to put up here the great adventure. God has a better plan for our life than we do. I think that as I prayed about coming here and thought about what am I going to share with you, there's lots of times we want to take control of our life. And if you look at the Bible, it's filled with stories where God says, I have a calling on you, on your life. And for me, part of my calling, I'm a father, I have four children, I'm married, and I have six grandchildren. We have different callings at different stages in our life. And what I wanted to share with you is that I wanted to awaken you to this verse that that I'm going to share next. For me, this calling has led me, which I'm going to share with you about this film, Patterns of Evidence, searching for evidence of the Bible. But what had a very, very powerful impact on me, I'm going to go back to this verse here, is we follow the Lord. There's a verse that says, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And you know, you think about that. I don't know, when I was your age, after my folks divorced when I was younger, I was going to high school. You know, I didn't really care about school. I didn't really do my homework. I didn't do anything. I was just like checking out because I was still in a lot of pain. And hunting and going hunting with my cousins in the fall was what I lived for. Almost all year round, I lived for that. I used to take my books and just throw them in the locker, slam the door shut, and go home. I mean, I just gave school my daytime. And I remember one time, you know, that catches up with you after a while, though, I can tell you. I remember one time a teacher, I was reading a history book, and I kept reading, and also I go, what am I doing? I'm reading this history book. It was like, I can't believe I'm reading it, you know, and I was interested in what the story was, and I kept looking at it. And I had a teacher one time come up to me, and he said, after I answered a question, and he looked at me and he said, Mr. Mahoney, that was a good answer. And in front of the whole class, I was like, really? Wow. Because I went around feeling like a dummy. I felt like I was, you know, I mean, I was broken home, no dad, we were poor, we were on welfare. And I just felt like a loser. And I mean, I wouldn't have called myself that, but I just felt really insecure. And but I knew that when you're pastor, when you have times like at a youth event or whatever, and they asked you to go forward to give your life to Christ or to follow Christ, I always went, because my mother had shown me that following the Lord was the right thing to do. And I'm here to share with you that I have had amazing opportunities. I mean, a lot of people would love to be a filmmaker. I've been to Los Angeles and New York and London and all over the world, Jerusalem to Cairo and all these places. And you know why it's happened? Is because I'm following the good works that God has prepared for me. And I remember when I went into Cairo the first time, it was after 9/11, and not many people. It wasn't very crowded with tourists, I can tell you that. And I remember going in there and they started going through all my stuff. And normally it would be really scary. But you know what? I knew that I was there because God called me to be there. And I got through there, through Cairo and into Egypt, and was able to start this journey, this adventure. And I don't know how many guys would like to go with me sometime. I actually have, very often when I speak, someone comes up to me and says, you know, if you ever need a helper, I could schlep some bags for you. They want to go with me to the pyramids or to a tomb or to... And I have had these amazing opportunities. And that's what I want to share with you young people, is that you don't know what God has in store for you. But if you give your life to Him, it's going to be much better. I'm not going to say it's going to be easier, but it's going to be much better than anything you could come up with on your own. And so I'm going to show you a little trailer. So your pastor mentioned that people outside of this church, as you move off to university, we wouldn't have to go very far. There are people that are saying the Bible is a myth. The Bible is irrelevant for today. All these teachings in the Bible are off. You're going to find that. That's going to be out there. And I didn't know any of that because I was kind of in a bubble myself. And they're going to look at it logically. They're going to say there is no evidence for these events. And so what we did is, well, I'm going to just play this trailer for you, a little clip, and give you a feel for it. Here we go.
The whole thing, from the beginning of the sojourn in Egypt, the slavery, Moses and the Exodus, the conquest of the Promised Land, is all there in one nice, neat line, but it's way too early.
I don't believe there was a single event that we can call the Exodus.
This person can't have seen all this. He imagined it.
I'm very much against chronological revisionism.
There is nothing else like this in the whole of Egyptian history.
Really?
Nothing at all.
When you put those cities side by side, the biblical account and the archaeology match extremely well.
So far, there is no documented evidence about the Exodus.
Exodus did not happen in the way that it is described in the text.
How can we prove that?
You look for a collapse in Egyptian civilization, and that's where you'll find Moses and the Exodus.
If we can prove there even was an Exodus.
I think everybody in the field is biased, one way or another.
Whether it was true, it is true. And those are two different things.
Ani, Ana, Ananel. Israel. Israel.
There's a high probability that we're looking here at Joshua's conquest.
I hate to disappoint people, but we have no evidence for a single mass migration of people from one country coming into another country.
There are no archaeological sources that could prove this took place.
We have no evidence.
If people are telling us that there was no Jericho at the time that Joshua conquered the Promised Land, and therefore Joshua is a piece of fiction, and therefore the conquest is a piece of fiction, why don't we ask the simple question, when was Jericho destroyed?
In terms of reconstructing ancient history, a lot hinges on the answer.
Do you think this is Joseph?
Either it is Joseph, or it's somebody remarkably the same.
We have tombs that are clearly those of foreigners, Semites. We can tell this by the pottery, by the kind of weapons. These are non-Egyptian type daggers. They have donkeys in some cases buried with them. This was not an Egyptian practice.
This is real evidence for the time when the Israelites were in Egypt as slaves.
We were slaves? Why? I mean, if you're going to dream up a story, surely you'd come up with a better one than that.
Look at your evidence and come to a conclusion based on the evidence.
So you have a connection between the Bible story and these tablets.
We have a name that's identical. We have a tablet coming out of the ground with the name Jabin on it. And in the story of Joshua, Joshua killed King Jabin of Hatzor.
Why is it that we've never heard of these fires?
Because in the scheme that's used by scholars to date all these events, they're way too early.
We may be wrong 10 years here, 10 years there, but there's no way, you know, to shift sense.
As it would undo a lot of their books, wouldn't it? So what ended up happening is that here I am, this filmmaker who is not a scholar. Is it okay if I walk out in front like this? I won't cause any feedback. So what ended up happening was I'm asking myself, I go to Egypt the first time, and I ended up, I'll show you where I was. Well, I went to Egypt, and the very first time I got there, I was trying to understand how in the world, I'm not a theologian, I'm not a scholar, I'm a filmmaker. And so for, believe this or not, for 12 years, I worked on trying to understand this, going to Egypt and different places. And at times, I just felt like I had no clue. I felt like, once again, I was like the wilderness. I was lost in the wilderness of information. And we started to look at the idea that prophecy in the Bible was very important. And what if we took the Bible? Was it possible to take the Bible at its word? Because some people were saying, you know, as you heard, no, there's no evidence. We don't see any. And so what they were starting to say, one group of people were saying, the Bible is a myth. And other people were saying, wait a minute, that's not true. There is evidence over here. So I ended up filming both of those groups of people. And as we looked at this, we could see that God gave a promise to Abraham. And he said that all the land you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. And those people ended up becoming the nation of Israel. And the story that we're going to look at and we're going to investigate, it said, the Lord says to him, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in the country. So Abraham had a son, and his name was Isaac, which we'll talk about. And then he had a son called Jacob and Esau. And Jacob had these 12 sons. So there's this generation going. And that family went into Egypt, and that's who they're talking about. And it says that, listen, I'm going to tell you that your family is going to be enslaved, and they're going to be mistreated. But I'm going to punish that nation that does that to them. And afterwards, they're going to come back to this land and I'm going to give it to you. And so Abraham had these sons, Ishmael. He tried to do it with his one with one handmaiden, and finally Sarah had Isaac. Then Isaac had Esau and Jacob, and Jacob had the 12 sons of Israel. And so what we started to do is, could we find evidence of Joseph and the family going into Egypt? And that's where we started to go. And I went to this location. We know that the family came down into this area. And I went to Egypt, and I went to this location where this man was digging a site, Dr. Manfred Bitek. And he told me that I had heard that he had found evidence of this people coming in there. And when I asked him about it, he told me how, you know, it sounded like they matched exactly. They had sheep, they had goats. Egyptians weren't this. They were from the area where the Israelites were supposed to be. And I said, so are these the Israelites? Do you think you found evidence? And he said, so far not. And you know what? I had traveled from one side of the world to the other side of the world. And when he said he didn't find evidence, what I started to think was maybe the Bible wasn't true. I mean, it didn't instantly, but it started to grow on me because I'd gone to the very place. And I remember having what I would call a crisis of faith. I went home and I was trying to understand this. And this thought came to me, maybe everything that you've been taught is a lie. And I was sitting in that suite, and then a cold chill came over me when that thought came over me. And I think there's a lot of people that something has happened in their lives, or somewhere along the line, a lot of people are making this decision, you know what, I don't think I believe that Jesus is the only way. Or I don't think I believe that that miracles can happen. Or something happens in our lives, and we basically have a crisis of faith. And you know what, nobody in my family knew that I was having a crisis of faith. But it was solely there. And some of you here today might have a point in your life where the Satan has spoken a lie to you about God's word or about what his faithfulness is. And I want to tell you that what we do know is that from the very beginning of time, the first time Satan ever introduces himself is in the Garden of Eden. And you know what he says? He talks to Eve and she says that she's not supposed to eat something. And he says, did God really say that you're not to eat of this? And all through time, Satan, when Satan finds out who Jesus is, he comes and basically challenges the meaning of God's word. And I realized that I was now challenged. I was in this battle for the truth of God's word. And I was called. I believe that we go back to that verse in Ephesians that I was called to do a good work because there was a battle. I started to understand that people were saying that God's word wasn't true. And that was what I was faced with. And at that moment, when I was in the edit suite, another thought came into my mind. Stop editing. Get up and go to your library. And I went up to my library, and I pulled out a book by Egyptologist David Roll. A friend had given me this book, and I had never actually looked at it. And I opened it up, and it was the very dig site that I had been to. I was amazed. It was like just how God had worked at that moment. He had directed me to the right place. I opened it up and I could see. And what David Rohl was telling us was that at this location where the Israelites were supposed to be, the city of Ramesses, there was a city underneath it, much older. And when you dig at that level, at an earlier time period, you start to find evidence of the Bible. And I didn't understand completely all that he was telling me. So in the very beginning, I made a film with only 3 minutes of that information. And later on, I expanded it to this huge patterns of evidence. I would eventually go on to search for the Red Sea crossing. I went into Saudi Arabia to look for Midian, to Mount Sinai. And I started to see that God had a covenant. And God has used the nation of Israel to reveal who he is to the world. With Abraham, through all, the whole Bible is the story of the nation of Israel and how God has then opened up the promises to us that we've been grafted into. And so God made a covenant with Abraham, and he made one with Moses and the Israelites at Sinai, and with Joshua and the Israelites at Shechem. And I started to go to all those locations and search for patterns of evidences. I ended up going to Israel, and honestly, I had no intention of meeting leaders, but God opened the door for me to actually go and interview the leaders of Israel and ask them about the Bible. I remember Benjamin Netanyahu. I was so nervous. I had to go through all sorts of security. You can imagine. And he says, what's this all about, when I first met him? And I go, well, I'm making a film about the Exodus, and I know a lot of people are going to see it. I didn't know that, but I believed it. Okay. And he says, okay. And I said, tell me about Joseph. And he said, Joseph. He's one of my favorite characters in the Bible. You know, and we started talking. And he was supposed to only talk to him for, you know, probably 15 minutes. And we talked for 50 minutes about the Bible. And I felt that God's presence came into the land. And so I believe I'm making films that are talking about the nation of Israel and what God is doing. Because God uses the nation of Israel to reveal who he is to the world. He did it in the past. He does it in the present. He'll do it in the future. And so I was able to meet with Shimon Peres. And I want to tell you something. I started to realize that faith and reason are not separate. The world is trying to separate our faith out of the government, out of our public life, out of us, and say, oh, you're okay if we can box you off and cut you off and put you over here. And from sciences and all that. Oh, that's a religious thing. But our earlier scholars, our earlier great scientists of the past did not separate them. And God never meant for faith and reason to be separated. We're to love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And so I realized that we could take this idea of patterns, the scientific approach, and search for evidence of the Bible. And that's why this film now is worldwide, and this approach is worldwide. And my encouragement to a lot of people that are struggling with maybe, you know, just be faith, you don't have to turn your mind off to serve God. Actually, you will find answers. There are better answers in all phases of the big questions of life in the Bible and in God's Word and in our understanding of who He is than in any of these other philosophies of the world. So we looked for six steps. So the question was, if we use that approach, we found that there were six steps: arrival, multiplication, slavery, judgment, exodus, and conquest. And we started looking for them. And David Roll said, yep, go back to that site and guess what you're going to find. God told Joseph that he said, what you did to me was meant for evil, but God meant it for good. Remember, I've used that many times, so you can see how God has done that. And he invited his family, Jacob, to come into the land. And what they found at that site was an unusual home in the very beginning of their archaeology. They found a home that didn't belong in Egypt. It was from another area. It was actually from the area where Jacob had come from. And this home was eventually replaced with a palace. They saw this group of people were allowed to come into the archaeology of that area. They could see it. They were given permission, exactly as the Bible says. They're given permission to be in the land. And there was a palace that they found then that was constructed there. And there was a cemetery in that palace. And these weren't Egyptians. They were Semitic people. They were wealthy like princes. And what David Rowland and others believe is they were the early tribe, the heads of the tribes. They were Joseph's brothers, and they had a pyramid tomb. Now, there has never been found a pyramid tomb in Egypt that didn't belong to a pharaoh or a queen, but this one didn't. It belonged to someone who was Semitic, and he had red hair. He had like a throw stick. He had light colored skin. And as we look at the story and we look at this is matching exactly what was happening in the story of the Bible. And that's why many people believe that this statue with the coat of colors could be Joseph. And we know that the coats of those days had that same type of this is another tomb from people in that area. And Joseph said, listen, when I know the promise to Abraham, when you go back to the land, you need to take my bones. And when the archaeologists dug, bones are always in the grave. No one ever steals bones. They steal gold, they steal you know, silver, and they whatever, but they don't steal bones. And somebody had broken into this grave a long time ago, and the bones were gone, matching exactly the story of the Bible. And not only that, but the entire area evacuated. And so what ends up happening is that this is a picture from the dig site as they were uncovering all this. But everyone was saying, this can't be the Bible story, because the Bible story is supposed to happen here in history. This is happening over here. And what Patterns was basically doing then was starting to show you that there is a sequence. So we had a sequence of multiplication. They saw the people. There was evidence of papyrus with slavery. Same time sequence, all lining up. We know the story of Moses coming. He tries to free Egypt, his Israelite brothers, one way, and what we see is that it doesn't work, and he kills someone, and he has to flee to Midian. And we know where Midian is. It's in Saudi Arabia. That's why I was interested in Saudi Arabia. And at the burning bush, he's told to go back. And what we find in a particular period of time, not in the time when most people are looking, but earlier, this whole sequence is lining up, we find that actually there's, in Egyptian records, the whole kingdom's collapses at this one particular time. And even the Egyptians write, God smote us. And so many identifiers that basically have been seen. These are sort of a summary page of all that in the film. And at that site of Avaris, there were plague pits. And they reported that when something happened in this city, and they found bodies strewn all over. And you know the story of the death of the firstborn, the tenth plague. And so the question is, well, what is it? How does it fit? And people, if they're looking for the Exodus over here, in this particular, or whatever time period is over here, they go, it can't be a part of the Bible. It's another coincidence. And so the Bible is wrong. The Bible is false. And that's what you'll get. And so this stone right over here, off to the right, is in Nablus, ancient Shechem. And I'm going to tell you something. That's very possible to be Joshua's standing stone, where it says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And Joseph's tomb is there, the Shechem, the temple, everything that the Bible has talked about is there. And people are ignoring it. And so what we're trying to do is, what I'm trying to do as a filmmaker is to make you aware of these things. And I didn't know that was what my calling was. Now, one thing I can do for you, if you're interested in following this, you can go to patternsofevidence.com, and each week I try to give you updates. We're creating lots of products. We've got a new children's series that's coming out that we're very excited about. In fact, I'm going to play you just a little clip of that.
The story I'm about to tell you is a very exciting one.
Your father and I believe because it's true.
I never thought these young people would join me in telling the story. They're just regular kids about to begin the biggest adventure of their lives.
Hello, Alexander.
What we find is called a Syrian stone house.
Interesting. So what do you think happened?
Well, we have the answer in the Bible.
Why is it that none of this evidence is in my history book?
That's a very good question.
Finding patterns of evidence that match the stories in the Bible. Patterns of Evidence. Young Explorers.
So we're working now on, for 12 years, a lot of that I was searching for the route of the Exodus. But the reason we stopped doing that, we went to look for was there any evidence, is people said, well, what's the point in looking for the route of the Exodus? They didn't exist in the first place. And I said, what? And they said, yeah, there's no evidence that the Israelites were in Egypt. So we put, for 5 or 6 years ago, we put that on hold, and we went and started searching for the evidence in Egypt and in the conquest. And now we're moving to Moses, the life of Moses, and the fact that people are questioning that could he have written it. This is amazing stuff. This is going to be like 7 hours of material that we're working on now. We've got some of it shot, the route of the Exodus, the lost sea of the Exodus, the mountain of God, where is that? We'll look at different Mount Sinai's. What happened? What was revealed at the mountain? I mean, do you realize that civil rights and human rights and all the stuff that we have that is good in our culture and society, a lot of these ideas came from Mount Sinai. The fact that we're created in the image of God. Our founding fathers talk about all the time. I don't know if you know this, but they wanted to have the parting of the sea be our symbol for America. And whenever nations turn from God, we see what can happen. And guess what? You guys are salt and light here. And I just want to encourage you that God's word is true. And the covenant that God has made, this is going to be a huge issue in the future with Israel. Because, you know, nations that bless Israel will be blessed, and nations that curse Israel will be cursed. And that's what the Bible says, and we're going to see, because Israel is repeating being trapped at the sea with their enemies wanting to kill them. Those are right out of their words. We're going to drive you into the sea. And so anyway, I'm going to wrap it up here. Following the Master, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So here's my challenge to you. This is that if you guys want to live a life, a great adventure, God has a better plan for our lives. It's time to find out what it is. And I'm continuing to discover. I didn't know about Young Explorers last year. I just felt like God was showing me, hey, you need to do this. And I feel it's almost like God has got this thing and I'm trying to keep up with him. And I think the disciples were going, he's walking. Hey, come on, guys, let's get moving. They kept following Jesus, and he's going to Capernaum. He's going to Jerusalem. He's going to different places. They were just trying to keep up with the Master. If your faith is not at that point where you're saying, Lord, where are you taking me? Then you need to get it there. And that's my challenge for you. When I prayed about coming here, I felt this is what I needed to share with you, is that God has a better plan for your life than you do. If you're trying to operate your own life, then you basically, you're probably not at the full capacity. If it's a promise that says before creation, and this means that you have a purpose. If you're wondering what is my reason for being, what is my reason for living, what should I be doing, you better figure it out. And that's what the Lord has shown me. And guess what? Sometimes, if the Lord would have told me everything that I was doing, I would have said, no way, I'm not going to go do any of that. But he doesn't reveal everything right away, but he reveals enough for you to know today. And so that's my prayer. And I was just going to just pray a prayer over you. And then Pastor will come, right? Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would help these wonderful people here to know, start to reveal to them what their calling is and what they're supposed to do with their life. And let it begin today, this week, this month, Lord, as they come before you and say, Lord, what am I supposed to do with my life? What should I do now? I pray that you would answer that question and that they could be salt and light this time. In Jesus' name, amen.